Continuing in the book of Acts, look with me once again at the book of the Acts of the Apostles. We are following the path of the Apostle Peter, traveling, as it were, you might say, alongside, observing the record that our Lord has given us in His Word. Eventually, coming to the point where the Apostle Peter, pens under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the two letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, of Holy Scriptures. Here in this record of Acts of the Apostles, we've been observing Peter and John's response to a man who was lame from his mother's womb. What a wonderful picture. What a wonderful picture of God's loving grace in supplying what this poor beggar needed, rather than what he was asking for. You recall that he was asking for alms. You can look over at Acts chapter 3, and a certain man in verse 2, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered. This poor beggar didn't even know what it was he truly needed. He was just asking for something to get him by, something to send somebody down to the store with and buy him something to eat. He was begging for alms, yet the Lord fulfilled a deeper need. Those withered up feet, those ankles of his had no strength. As we looked at once before already, one who has never used a muscle, it'll wither and wither away. Yet this man got up and leaped when the Lord healed him. The Lord fulfilled a deeper need. And when he fulfilled it, those withered up feet, those ankles that had no strength, immediately received strength, as we read in verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles both received strength. Verse 8, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. This was not just, oh, I'm healed and now let me gain strength. This was, I have full strength. I have everything I need. God has provided it all. This one who is purposed to save his people is the one who gave strength to this one in need. I'm here to tell you this morning that if the Lord has purposed it, it shall be done. And the Lord has purposed to save a people. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. And by becoming flesh, he saved us. He saved us through his death. The perfect blood of God was shed upon that tree. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we would be made the righteousness of God in Him. In the 31st verse of Romans chapter 8, we read this, What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? We also had the pleasure of taking note on how the apostles quickly turned the crowd away from themselves and pointed them to Christ, whom they had just cried out, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" In verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he said unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham," as it says in verse 13, "the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go." But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, verse 14, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith is in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And lastly, Peter preaches hope. The importance of God's preachers to bring about the truths of what the flesh is. But not just the truth of what the flesh is, but the truth of who God is. The very one who was crucified on that cross. The very one who men and women with wicked hearts crucified. The God of glory. After pointing out those two things, we give hope to sinners. Christ came to save sinners. The hope of the gospel. The good news. There is life for a sinner. Look at verses 17 through 20 with me. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. That's exactly what we say about sinners. People who walk this earth who have never been regenerated by the Holy Spirit have no idea, and you and I had no idea how great a sinners we were, did we? Not until the Lord showed us. They do it in ignorance. Verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Our Lord fulfilled everything according as he had written it, all the way from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance. A word that means turning, a turning from, but it doesn't just mean a turning from, it also means a turning to. We turn from that self-righteous attitude that we come into this world with, saying, I can do this, I am good, I can be better, I can make it better, I can accomplish this. We come away from looking at ourselves in that way and we seeing that we can do nothing. We're turned to look to the one who is God over everything, including our will. He rules over the dust that we can look at coming through this little window right here, the sun shining coming in. I don't know if you can see it, but I can see it because it's always there. Nothing I can do to stop it. If he rules every speckle of that dust, he rules every speckle of me. And the only reason I know that, and the only reason you know that, is because God Almighty has granted us repentance to turn from what we once thought to thinking of him. This message, this was the message that John the Baptist preached in the wilderness. In Matthew 3:2, it says this, and saying, speaking of John the Baptist, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the message that the Lord Jesus preached, as we see in Luke 5:32. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want to consider this morning this word repent for just a moment and see how it relates to you and I. Turn, if you would, over to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5. And may our great God be pleased to bless us with his word. In Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32, we read this, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican. That's a tax collector. In the days of those days when the men walked this earth that were tax collectors, they were the hated among most everyone. I don't know about you, but I'm not real fond of tax collecting in today's world either. I won't deny anybody to take advantage of whatever laws we have to do the best they can, not to pay any taxes that they don't have to and aren't required to. That doesn't mean I mean to go out and cheat. That's not what I'm saying at all. But there are rules, and there are rules for a reason. And if you take advantage of those rules, it does not make you a cheater. It just means you've taken advantage of the rules that people have put in place. I don't like tax collectors any more than they did then. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, named Levi. Sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. And he, speaking of Levi, left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. These verses describe the conversion of Levi. That word Levi, that name Levi, is also the name Matthew. Matthew, as you know, was one of Christ's first disciples. And just like Levi, you and I were born in sin. Like him, we lived according to the course of this world. We walked after the lust of our flesh and were by nature the children of wrath. But God, as it says in Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, who is rich in mercy for his great love, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ just did. He came by Levi and he said, follow me, just as he did to me, sitting there in that pew one day. The Lord spoke to my heart and he said, John, follow me. He said, Roger, follow me. He said, Bill, follow me. And what did we do? We followed him. John Fortner wrote this. He says, had the Lord not come to us, we would never have come to him. Amen to that. Had he not called us, we would never have called upon him. Had he not turned us, we would never have been turned. Had he not converted us by his almighty grace, we would never have been converted. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that we must be converted, or we must perish forever in hell. This conversion is God's work. It is the turning of our souls to God. Conversion is accomplished by God the Holy Spirit turning sinners to the Savior. He turns chosen, redeemed sinners from unbelief to faith, from rebellion to surrender, from enmity to love, from sin to righteousness, from self-righteousness to Christ. Have you been converted? Are we being converted right now? Is God working in us, turning us to himself each and every moment of every day? I don't know about you folks, but as I think about that very fact, I listen to that message. I know you too have also. And oh, how I prayed that the Lord would continue to bring trials my way. Not just to get me through these very trials that I go through now in my life, but to bring more. Don't allow me, Father, to have peace. I heard Don Fortner say that one time, and he said this right afterwards. He says, be careful what you pray for. As we go about our way in this world, we turn more and more and more away from that to him. I've I've heard Pastor Gene say that. I've heard Don Fortner say that. I've heard men who've known the Lord for some time say that. But oh, how it is to experience it. Oh. I've become quite accustomed not to look into the news. I actually got up this morning and felt, what in the world am I doing? I turned the news on for some reason. Why did I do that? I don't do that on a normal basis. I guess I was lonely and bored. Kathy, as you know, is away, and I miss her a great deal. God forgive me for turning to news in place of her. Oh, folks, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying about being turned? It's not something we were just done once. It's something I need all the time.
Every day.
Is God working in us, turning us to Himself? If we've been converted, we are being converted. Ephesians 2:10, we read this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, we read this, "Being confident of this very thing," writes Paul, "that He, our Lord, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." This work of grace is not over until it is finished. Believing sinners continually cry out unto the Lord for converting grace. We read this in Psalms 85:10. "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed." In Jeremiah 31:18 and 19, we read this, "I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself, thus, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock accustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did hear the reproach of my youth." And in Lamentations 5:21, we read this, "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old." End of Don's quote. End of Don's quote. Turning from our own dead works to the grace of the Almighty is against our very nature. We continue to battle, trying to do something that merits good feelings about our flesh. "Has there not been a change in my actions?" you might say to myself. And too many times we seek to measure our salvation by what it is what we do. Folks, can I not say this in every message, in every Bible study? We are saved by grace through faith. Through our belief in Him, in His works. This conversion, this repentance, this we believe and faith to believe is a gift of God, as we've read in Ephesians chapter 2. In John 3:16 it says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would change their life and start walking after Him." No, that's not what it says. It doesn't say that at all. It says, "So that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We are turned from trusting the works of our flesh to trusting God's works. We believe Him in all that He has said throughout His Word, all of it. This is what we preach. This is what we teach. This is the message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And we believe because He has mercy. He has mercy on whom He will have mercy. He chose us to be vessels of His mercy before the world ever was. He has loved us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to perform the works of Christ, where it says, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's what Peter is talking about here in Acts chapter 3. The God of Abraham, verse 13, and of Isaac and of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And it is his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, that hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Repent, verse 19, it says, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, to be loved of God. Therefore, with loving kindness, he says, I have drawn thee. Next week, Lord willing, we'll continue with this subject of repentance. Amen.